Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Age of Extraction by Tim Wu examines how modern technology platforms turn convenience into a dominant business model that increasingly depends on taking rather than making. Building on his long-standing interest in the history of monopolies and media, Wu connects past eras of industrial consolidation with today's digital economy, where a small number of firms sit between people and the services they rely on. The book frames many familiar experiences as part of a broader pattern: subscriptions that feel hard to cancel, marketplaces that squeeze sellers, app ecosystems that skim transactions, and attention-driven products that monetize behavior. Rather than treating these outcomes as inevitable side effects of innovation, Wu argues they are strategic choices enabled by scale, data, network effects, and policy drift. He explores what this shift means for entrepreneurship, wages, consumer welfare, and democratic resilience. The result is a big-picture critique of platform power and a warning that an economy optimized for extraction risks undermining long-term prosperity. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, from builders to takers, defining the extraction model, a central theme is the distinction between value creation and value extraction. Wu uses the idea of extraction to describe businesses that position themselves as unavoidable intermediaries, then harvest rents by controlling access, raising fees, degrading service, or locking users into ecosystems. The book argues that many platforms begin with genuinely useful innovations, but once dominance is achieved, incentives shift, growth and user acquisition give way to profit maximization through toll booths, higher take rates, forced bundling, preferential placement, and policy changes that favor the platform over producers and consumers. This framing helps unify phenomena that otherwise feel disconnected, such as hidden surcharges, advertising overload, and the steady erosion of product quality after a service becomes indispensable. Wu also ties extraction to market structure. When a platform is the default gateway, both buyers and sellers lose bargaining power, and the platform can claim a larger share of the economic surplus. The topic sets up the book's broader argument that extraction is not merely a moral critique, but an economic diagnosis, with predictable consequences for dynamism, innovation, and long-run productivity. Secondly, platform gatekeepers and the new toll roads of commerce. Wu emphasizes how platforms become gatekeepers by owning the marketplace, the rules, and the discovery mechanisms. Once a platform controls search rankings, app distribution, logistics, or payment rails, it can steer demand and shape competition without looking like a traditional monopolist. The book explores how gatekeeping power can be exercised subtly, changing terms of service, shifting algorithms, requiring the use of in-house tools, or promoting the platform's own offerings. For small businesses and creators, the promise of access to a massive audience often comes with dependency. Fees can rise, margins can shrink, and the risk of sudden demotion or deplatforming becomes a constant business hazard. Wu links these mechanics to broader economic effects. When a few intermediaries collect a growing share of transactions, money that could have been reinvested in better products, wages, or local growth instead flows to the gatekeeper. The topic also clarifies why consumers can feel both empowered and trapped. Platforms reduce friction and expand choice on the surface, but they can simultaneously narrow real options by controlling visibility and imposing standard terms across entire sectors. Thirdly, data, attention, and behavioral surplus as economic fuel. Another major topic is how personal data and attention function as raw material for extraction. Wu discusses how platforms gather information through apps, services, and devices, then convert it into targeting, pricing power, or behavioral prediction. In this view, the user is not only a customer, but also an input into a production system that optimizes engagement and monetization. The book connects this to the evolution of advertising markets, where the ability to measure, segment, and influence audiences makes ad inventory more valuable and more concentrated. Attention becomes the scarce resource, and product design begins to prioritize retention, habit formation, and continuous scrolling rather than user well-being. Wu also highlights how data can reinforce dominance. The more activity a platform hosts, the more insight it gains, improving its ability to match buyers and sellers, refine recommendations, and outcompete entrants. This creates a feedback loop that is hard to break. The economic consequence is a shift in business priorities away from improving the underlying goods and services and toward maximizing extractable signals and time. Readers are encouraged to see data-driven personalization not only as convenience, but also as a mechanism that can reduce privacy, autonomy, and competitive pressure. Fourthly, historical parallels, lessons from earlier monopoly eras. Wu situates platform power in a longer history of industrial concentration, drawing parallels to railroads, oil, telecom, and other sectors where control of infrastructure enabled rent-taking. The book's historical lens helps readers understand that the core strategy is not new: acquire control over a critical bottleneck, then charge everyone who must pass through it. What changes in the digital era is speed, scale, and the intimacy of the resource being extracted. Unlike physical infrastructure, software-based intermediaries can expand globally, update rules instantly, and embed themselves into daily routines. Wu's comparison also highlights the role of public policy. Past monopoly eras prompted antitrust actions, regulation, and structural reforms when concentration began to harm competition and consumers. The book uses those precedents to argue that outcomes are contingent, not predetermined. Societies have previously chosen to curb gatekeeper power, open markets, and restore competitive conditions. By emphasizing history, Wu challenges the notion that today's tech giants are simply successful innovators who should be left alone. He frames them instead as the latest manifestation of a recurring problem: private control over essential channels of commerce and communication. The topic encourages readers to think in institutional terms, not just in terms of individual companies or apps. Lastly, prosperity at risk, innovation, labor, and democratic resilience. Wu argues that an extractive economy threatens future prosperity by weakening the conditions that produce broad-based growth. When platforms absorb more surplus through fees and gatekeeping, smaller firms have less capacity to invest in product development, employees, and resilience. Entrepreneurs may still launch businesses, but their upside is constrained by dependence on dominant intermediaries that can change terms or compete directly using superior data. The book also links extraction to labor outcomes. As more value is captured at the top, wage growth and job quality can stagnate, and work can become more precarious through contractor models and algorithmic management. Beyond economics, Wu suggests the concentration of information channels has civic implications. Platforms that shape attention and distribution can influence public discourse, and their incentives may prioritize engagement over trust and social cohesion. The topic synthesizes the book's warning: even if consumers enjoy low prices or free services in the short run, a long-term shift toward rent extraction can degrade productivity, competition, and institutional stability. Wu pushes readers to evaluate prosperity not only by immediate convenience, but by whether the economy is cultivating new builders, new entrants, and durable opportunities. The argument culminates in a call to treat platform dominance as a structural challenge with economic and societal stakes. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who want to understand why so many digital services feel simultaneously indispensable and frustrating: entrepreneurs navigating marketplace dependence, policymakers and regulators, investors and business strategists, and everyday consumers curious about the forces shaping prices, privacy, and choice. Wu can benefit a reader's life by giving a practical lens for interpreting platform behavior. Once you recognize extraction patterns, you can make clearer decisions about where to build a business, how to diversify channels, what trade-offs you accept in exchange for convenience, and which reforms you might support as a citizen. The book is also valuable for framing today's tech debates in economic terms rather than cultural slogans, connecting individual experiences like fee creep or algorithm changes to market power and incentives. Compared to similar books on tech criticism, Wu's advantage is the combination of history, antitrust-oriented thinking, and a focus on the economic mechanics of rent-taking. Instead of treating platforms as uniquely modern villains, he shows how familiar monopoly playbooks reappear in new forms, which makes the case feel more actionable. If you want a coherent map of how platform power can weaken innovation and prosperity, this is a worthwhile purchase. If you would like to support Tim Wu, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.